Do you focus it a little more? Okay, but basically, the point of this is that in the last, starting in the more recent timeframe, and we've really exploded in our population, or excuse me, in our freeway of production, they used from 1982 to 2001, and this is population, and this is freeway construction. So you can see that the Richmond region has really exploded. So if you look at that slide one thing, freeway construction is 123% over since 1982, and our population is only 42%. So we're building so many roads. That's where we're spending all of our money. So go to the next slide. So land use and transportation are linked. Come away with one thing that you're going to realize how wonderful it is to be a citizen engaged in your community. Remember that land use and transportation are linked. We share so much. Transportation is your carbon and solvent. Land use. It's a land use issue. How we use our land. And we're driving more and walking less. We've increased our vehicle amount of travel. And again, we're comparing that to population. And you can see that our vehicle amount of travel increased more rapidly than our population. Next slide. That's a lot of radical. And the next, this slide that you have coming up, click on it one more time. This is a comparison in 94 and 2002. So the purple is from 94 and 2002. The yellow is 2002. You can see that by 94, we'd already covered so much of the Richmond region with impervious surfaces, so that natural groundwater recharging and the environmental processes weren't able to happen. So we covered most of our area with asphalt. And we're continuing to do so. You think it's great, growth is wonderful, but there's some other things. So then we wonder, how did this happen? Well, certain people were making decisions before us, or perhaps, and oftentimes people were making decisions. And I like to say that you're a piece of the wheel, which is a piece of the world. And we're waking up, and there's so many wonderful nonprofits in the city of Richmond and across the region who are addressing a lot of these issues, but no one is really addressing the issues. Very strong focus. So we ask citizens, you can see again, to participate. So what we've been doing is subsidizing sprawl. It's a very federal word. It's irresponsible leapfrog development that takes our tax dollars away from our communities and destroys farmland and open space. Go to the next slide. Oh, and it costs us all. Sprawl costs us all. We're separating uses because we thought it would bring a better quality of life. And this was all very well-intentioned growth. We thought that it was healthier to separate ourselves from, you know, industrial one acre of parking lot space estimated 16 times the amount of runoff than New Meadow. Next slide. And Belton is increasing nutrient dozens in Chesapeake Bay at rates faster than restoration efforts can. So that's another image of the amount of impervious surface that is covered in the region. You can see here in the worst city that is, you know, normal parking lot, but we've really been using the our health, air pollution, transportation per capita. Once again, Richmond is beating out Hampton Roads and Northern Virginia, and we emit more pollution per capita than both of those. And then our health. Our death rate attributable to air pollution is about 80% of overall mortality rate and the rate for alcohol, firearms, and motor vehicles, accidents together. And our water. So cost, for instance, this is an example of comprehensive plan that how they can sometimes be so far away from reality of what we really want to create for in Chesterfield. $5.7 billion is what it would cost to serve these there under their comprehensive plan. And what is a, you know, a big industry? There's tourism, travel, the $7.7 million travel tourism industry. So continually covering everything up and putting up more subdivisions and shopping malls and highways. We're losing a lot of that travel tourism industry. And then next place, also the $47 million agriculture and forest industry is extremely important. Just in the way, and so we're not meeting our community's needs. About the affordable housing issue. You can see that in the city of Richmond, we have, we actually do have a surplus of affordable housing, but in the suburbs, they're just totally turning their back to that issue of the need for affordable housing, and they're not meeting that need. As you can see from the pool issue, you can write the county, for instance, issues on the left are Western schools, issues on the right are Eastern schools. So how near we grow is also a social and racial issue. Divide urban and racially and socioeconomic development if you can. Again, on the western side of the city, you've got the west end, those are some of the towns in my town, and then on the east side, you've got being from Eastern to Draco. So all those issues that we think about that make us feel bad at night, like suffering, have to do with how we're growing the students that we're making. So this is Mark from Fort Forever, and this is the next one. So we built next farm way far out of Turnpike, 9 mile road. So you can see the progression. We go from farms to bulldozers to more beautiful white roads. eradicate the possibility of that, and now we're finally understanding that that can be the key to revitalizing areas. That's Tarrytown, this is an example of a schedule of what an urban mixed use looks like. You don't want to see mixed use in the middle of nowhere, do we, right? That's not smart growth. Take advantage of compact building designs, that just means better use of the footprint. You don't need to kind of have much larger buildings that you think is necessary. You know, think about where we're actually placing our buildings, designing in a way that fits in with the connected neighborhood. Next slide. Create a range of housing opportunities and choices, and making sure that we have affordable housing built into our community to grow. In Montgomery County, for instance, in Maryland, they have a requirement that all these developments have to have 15% dedicated to affordable housing. Okay, next slide. We want to create walkable neighborhoods. This is people at the River City Center, which gives people to see you're walking along the sidewalk. Can you go back to the this is an example of a sprawling development in a traditional town. So you can see that there's just so much more connectivity here, so many more options of where you can walk. And so it takes so much less time to get from point A to point B because there are more options and things are closer together. Whereas if you live at the edge of the cul-de-sac, to get to over here, you have to go all the way there and it might take you half an hour. Where if you could just go from here to here, it would take you 2 minutes. This is another example. This is Lily Hill and our living space growth. This is a nice walkable area with a theater and people really enjoy going there. Next slide. Foster distinctive attractive communities with a strong sense of place. So I wanted to ask you all if you could identify where these places were in the book, but you have to take a stab at that first when it was the name.
Right here, I can just drive.
Anyway, we were almost towards the end. Let's see if I can find it. I don't know if I have to see if I have my next slide. Okay, so the next image was of the James River. So we all love the James. That's part of what makes our area so special. And that's another thing which is very open space. I really wanted to show you this slide of number 7 is strengthen existing communities, and there's this great study that was commissioned recently by the Coalition for Smarter Growth and Piedmont Environmental Council, and it shows a strip of Broad Street from the edge of the city out to Short Pump, and they have 1,140 acres of parking lot to 110 acres of buildings. So we have 110 acres of buildings, and in that same area, 1,440 acres of parking lot. And so that was an image of that imagine how it was expressed in the you see that done in gray and red. And then the next slide was an image of Jackson Ward 15 years ago, and just the tragedy of the fact that we've literally abandoned buildings and gone and built new ones. And so now it's a process of retaining those communities when we build them. The next slide was, provide a variety of transportation choices. So what does that mean? What are some transportation options that you'd like to Thank you, exactly. And then being able to have those in harmony. But how can you necessarily do the same biking when a car is looking by you, there's nowhere for you to go, you hear about people dying all the time, biking is not exactly inviting. Kudos to people who do it and use that way. And just a little fun fact. It costs $50 million to build 1 mile of four-lane highway. And that is the same amount, $50 million that it costs to retrofit an entire mid-sized city for bike and walkability. And I think that's an extremely powerful statistic. So 50 million, you could build another mile of four-lane highway, or you could retrofit a city like Richmond. So why aren't we investing $50 million so that people can walk and bike and make more choices, improve our air quality, all of those things? So remember that, $50 million. And PSC is currently working on a project called Voices for Mobility Choices to try and change that and make sure we can have more investment in bike. It's back again. All right, great. So, can you imagine? We probably are running out of time, but that's the image of happy biking. side of Broad Street. So good. Oh, well, one more, sorry. There, so that's it, you all see the gray is parking lot in the red or blue. So that's how we've chosen the road. And we all know what that looks like. So, let's go to the next slide. Next, that's the document where it's 15 years ago. Yep. Great, let's go to the next slide. That's the stat about $50 million. So then we need to make development decisions predictable, fair, and cost-effective. The reason I have this image of Oakland Parkway 95. You know, if everybody got everybody in the room together, what would you do with, you know, millions of dollars? Would you get them on a complete road through a suburban, rural, farmland area? Yeah, that's just my answer. Encourage community and stakeholder collaboration and development. Stakeholders, that's all of you. Business owners, yes, corporations, everybody, but it's also citizens. And so often citizens are left out because it's not easy to involve yourself in the Next slide. So this is a quick image of what Smart Road looks like. This is in Florida, so we kind of sprawl into the information. So click on that for me. So that shows us before and after, what it looks like before we sprawl, and then what you can do to retrofit and reclaim the area. So go next. Now this is an area, would you feel comfortable walking across that street? Yeah, it's pretty nice, there's a crosswalk. Take away that crosswalk, you probably wouldn't want to walk across the street. Now it's a lot less friendly. All it was would be painted white lines and a couple more trees. And one more time. Take away that infill development, you have a Kmart parking lot. That's not a very fun place to walk around. So that's an example. And I'll click one more time. Or you could have that. So that's our point that we're making. Isn't that a better use of land? So this is a quick overview of what Smart Roads is and is not. Smart Roads is a bad drive by the people who are making money on this all. So more transportation is more transportation choices and less traffic. It's not against cars and roads. It is about vibrant cities, suburbs, and towns. It's not anti-suburban. It's also about making suburbs beautiful, wonderful places to live and connect. Next. It's a wider variety of housing choices. It's not about telling people how to live, where to live. It's not saying, well, you need to live in an apartment, because that's better. No, you can live in a single-family home. That's great. If everybody lives in a single-family home, we're not going to make it. Next. Well-planned growth and improved quality of life is not against growth. Okay? Can't be against growth. And why does it work well? It's better. Quick overview. Environment. It consumes less land and water, causes less pollution, and preserves farms and wildlife habitat. Next. Economy. Succeeds economically and attracts businesses and skilled workforce. Equity. Creates more choices in transportation, affordable housing, and jobs for all residents. And engagement. Encourages greater participation in community planning and civic life. Next slide. And there's a couple more slides about why people prefer Smart Growth. The return to the community dollars spent. You can see with residential development that actually costs more for the taxpayers. You have to provide services, schools, firefighters, police officers, libraries, sewer, water. For every dollar a taxpayer gives, the county earns 6 cents, $1.25. But for farms and forests, they get to actually keep that money. They don't have to spend it either. Soybeans don't need police officers. So why do people prefer Smart Growth? It costs less. Okay, so roads, 25% less. Utilities, 15% less. Schools, 5% less. So don't you think it's more compact and smarter? And an example of Smart Roads in Richmond that's new is Rocketman. So specifically, ask you all, why do you think this would be Smart Roads? What are some of the reasons that this would be Smart Roads?
Okay.
Existing building. That's great. And then? Right
building, and they have blocked the view of the river from Timber Rocker Park.
Oh, the Rockets building?
Yes.
So that maybe some use that aspect should have been more considered, but it's...
And how affordable it is?
It doesn't meet all of the qualifications for sure, but it's an example of something positive, you know, rather than another, you know, we'll be next when we have a term to make time. Okay, so time is almost up. Let's go to the next. Actually, why don't we stop there?
Yeah, we have time for people to participate in the next section.
Yeah, so I think we're good. I wanted to explain that the Envision Richmond group has organized and what we've done, and I think the appropriate time for that will be after Rachel speaks. And just to give you a quick idea, though, we formed to support the downtown master plan and gathering ballot